All right, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning, especially if you're a guest. We're so glad that you are here, been able to join us at Pleasant Valley. Welcome home. We love the opportunity to get to meet you, to get to know you. And I just want to tell you right now, I'm facing one of the biggest challenges I've ever faced while preaching. And we thought since we're having a combined service, we're all together, man, let's do more singing. And so that left 20 minutes for a sermon. And so I've got 20 minutes to speak to you. And this is going to be a big challenge. And I know what you're thinking right now. It's impossible. That's not going to happen. And some of you have already pulled out your stopwatch and thought, all right, let's do this. Okay, game on. Challenge. I accept. This morning, if you have your Bibles, open those up to Acts chapter 8. That's where we will begin. You know, I've never been a manly man, so to speak. And if you're laughing, God bless you. But and what I mean by that is this. I've never been a man to just walk around with his chest out going, I'll take care of it, you know, or, you know, have a lot of guns in my house or anything like that. Or in the middle of the night when there's a noise in the house, I'm not the guy that jumps out of bed and goes, I'll go check that out. That's just not me. And so what I do one of two things when there's a noise in my house. I either go quietly out of the bed so they don't hear me and close my bedroom door and lock it. Just take what you want. Insurance will take care of that. Or I send my wife, be like, honey, go check it out. And I'll just stay right here under the covers. And so it comes as no surprise that I'm not a big fan of scary movies. I haven't been as a kid. I'm not today and probably never will be. I can still remember as a kid my friends growing up saying, oh, we're having a sleepover Friday night. Come on, Cash, join us. And I'm like, yeah, woohoo, sleepover. And you get over there and they're like, scary movie night. And I'm like, no. And I don't know what scary movies kids watch today, but when I grew up, and a lot of you can relate to this, we watched things like Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger, or Halloween, or things like Friday the 13th with Jason or The Shining. I never enjoyed any of those movies. Okay, my friends would be watching it, and they'd be like, oh, this is the cool part, and I'd be that one in the corner with the blanket, like with my eyes closed like this. And then after the movie, they'd all fall right to sleep, but not me. My eyes would be wide open, and any noise, be looking over, just scared to death. And then there was this popular movie that had been out, and everybody was all for it. Like, oh man, this is a great movie, Cash. You've got to go see this movie. You're going to love it. And it wasn't even intended to be a scary movie. It was intended to be a movie that just, you know, you left and you were happy, and you're full of joy, and everything's just great in your life. And I went and saw it. And when I left, I wasn't happy and full of joy. I was terrified. And this is the movie, The Wizard of Oz. Ironically, in this movie, there are many things that just scared me as a kid. You know, the witch didn't scare me, you know, on her broom. That didn't scare me, or the monkeys didn't scare me. Last night, I spoke at the refresh retreat to some kids, and they're like, oh, I'm going to miss your sermon tomorrow. What's it about? And I was telling them about this, and they said, ooh, I bet you were scared of the talking trees. And I said, no, actually, I wasn't. But there were three things in this movie that terrified me and brought me to tears as a kid. The first one's obviously the wizard. Okay, I mean, what kid is not afraid of a floating green head with fire and smoke coming out beside it? And saying, get away! I mean, yeah, of course that's going to scare you. The second one, this is where you can't judge me. Okay, just remember we're all Christians, we're family, and so take a deep breath and go, I will not judge you. And after service today, you won't come up to me and go, really? You were scared of them? But I was scared of these guys right here, the Munchkins. I don't know what it was about them. Maybe that one of them had his hair in like Satan horns or something, or the way that they looked at you like this or kicked their legs. Y'all know what I'm talking about. As a kid, I was always scared, you know, laying in my bed if I closed my eyes and then opened them up, one of them be looking at me like this. And it terrified me. But the top thing by far that I was afraid of in the movie, The Wizard of Oz, and somewhere my mom is sitting in here and she's laughing right now because she knows exactly where I'm going with this, was at the very beginning, the tornado. It tore me up as a kid. I remember walking away from that movie just terrified. And any time from that point on when it just started getting cloudy outside or just raindrops or anything going on, I would run to my mom, hysterical crying, and I'd be going, is there going to be a tornado? And she's like, no, baby, there's not going to be a tornado. Calm down. Everything's going to be okay. And I'm like, you promise? And she's like, I promise. And so I had nightmares about this tornado. And then in 1988, that nightmare came true. It started to, a storm was coming up from the south, and it started getting real cloudy and just getting all dark outside. And I remember running. I'm 12 at this time, okay, so I'm almost a teenager, but it's still scary. I ran to my mom crying, going, "Is there going to be a tornado?" And she bent down and got on my level and said, "Yes." Why would you tell me that, Mom? Well, yeah, it's the truth. That's why I'm telling you that. And so I'll never forget, we ran into our living room. We flipped our couches over to where they made this triangle. And we crawled up under the couch, which is kind of cool, actually, like this little tunnel. And all four of us are under there with our pillows. And I'm just bawling. And my brother's like, "Come on, get tough." And I'm like, "You be quiet." And so I'm under there with my pillows. And all I can see from this movie is when the house got lifted up in the tornado and it's spinning around. Y'all remember this? And she looks out the window and that lady's riding the bike like this. And I thought, I'm dead. I'm about to die. And the tornado passed through my hometown. Obviously, I didn't die, or I wouldn't be standing here on the stage this morning. But when we walked out of our house and went throughout the town, we saw a lot of homes that had gotten hit. Our Walmart had gotten destroyed. And it took a couple of days for us to go back to school. But when we finally went back to school, I was talking with my friends and like, "Man, I was scared to death." And they're like, "I was too. You know, we hid in our bathtub, or we jumped into the pantry." And I was like, "Yeah, we flipped over our couches." And man, I was crying. I'm not going to lie. I was crying to y'all. And one of my friends, I'll never forget, he said, "I wasn't scared." And we're like, "Yeah, he's trying to be that manly man that we're talking about." We're like, "Yeah, you were scared." He was like, "No, I wasn't scared." Like, why weren't you scared? Are you tornado resistant? Like, you can dodge it or something? Why weren't you scared? And I'll never forget what he said. "We've got a storm shelter." How come that never dawned on me? And I'll never forget what he said next. "Man, when we knew the tornado was coming, we just got our candles. We got some playing cards and some snacks, and we went down in there and we just ate snacks and played cards." And then he said this, "Anytime there's going to be a storm, Cash, just come spend the night with me. And if the tornado comes, we'll just go get in the storm shelter." And I was like, "Deal. Shake on it." And from that point on, I can't really explain it. I can just tell you that there was a burden that was lifted off of my shoulders. It was this peace that came over me, this security that came over me. And from that point on, I was never afraid of tornadoes again. I thought, if there's a tornado, I'll just go to my friend's house and spend the night and get in that storm shelter. Everything's good. You know, in life today, we have a lot of storms that we face. And now I'm not really talking about tornadoes or earthquakes or hurricanes like our friends in Houston are having to deal with. And just a side note, we are in contact with Houston churches. And once they get settled of what they need through all of this, Pleasant Valley will be jumping in and helping. So stay tuned to that. But I'm not talking about these storms. The storms I'm talking about are the ones that we face every day, where something just doesn't go right. Something doesn't go according to our plan, where you get called into the boss's office and he tells you that you no longer have a job. And so you're starting to wonder, well, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to feed my kids? You know, you get that call that you have a loved one that passed away, or one of your friends has just been in a car accident, or your marriage is struggling, or you're sitting in the doctor's office and he tells you you've got cancer. And there's so many storms that we face every single day that bring us to tears, and they bring us down, and they bring us to our knees, and they're very difficult to deal with. But for those of us in here who know God, for those of us in here who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those storms, even though they bring a lot of tears and they bring a lot of hurt and they bring a lot of pain in our life, we still have this peace about us. We still have this peace that we can't really explain. As it says in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Because what a storm shelter does for people who are experiencing a tornado, God provides that in our life. And even though, yes, it's very difficult to go through a lot of the storms that we have to face on a regular basis, we have this peace because we know that God will provide for us. And we have this peace because we know, as it says in James 4, that we are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, that we're here just temporarily. And as 2 Corinthians says, therefore, we don't look at things that are seen around us, because all these things that are seen are just temporary. We keep our eyes focused on things that are unseen, because we know that that's eternal. We know that that's our home. And as it tells us in the Gospels in John 14, Jesus has promised us that he's preparing a place for us. And one day he's coming home to get us. And so we have this peace through all of these storms in our life. We have this security that no matter what's going on, yes, it's very difficult, but one day it won't be, because one day we'll be going home. And when we read through the Gospels, we see a lot of people who are searching for this peace and this security. And one of those stories is in Acts chapter 8 that I had you open your Bibles to. In Acts chapter 7, we see where Stephen was the first person martyred in the name of Jesus. And then we get over to Acts chapter 8, and we see where they're starting to scatter the church. They're starting to persecute those followers of Christ. And they think they're doing a great thing, like, oh yeah, let's get rid of these Christians. But in reality, what they're doing is a blessing. Because what according to Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says, those who were scattered now are going to preach the good news wherever they went. And so it went from just a group of believers right here in one group, and then they started scattering them all throughout the world, and now all of the world gets to hear the good news. And one of those that was scattered was an apostle by the name of Philip. And the scriptures tell us that he was scattered, and he went down south, and he was on this desert road that connected Jerusalem and Gaza. And while on this road, this chariot's going by. And in this chariot, he hears this individual reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip was led to the chariot, and he asked him, do you understand what you are reading? And do you remember the reply he got back? How can I, unless someone explains it to me? And the passage of scripture that this individual was reading from Isaiah says this: he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And this individual asked Philip, tell me please, is this prophet talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? What is this talking about? And the scriptures say that Philip took that very passage and told him the story and told him the good news of Jesus Christ. And as a kid, I've always thought this next part was the coolest part of the story. It said that immediately he said, stop the chariot. And they get out of the chariot right there. And I've always envisioned it just being like this puddle of mud or just this ditch on the side of the road. And he said, what's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip baptized him right there. And on that day, this individual found that peace. He found that security, that purpose that he had always been searching for. And it always makes me think, would he have ever found it if Philip wouldn't have walked up to that chariot and asked a very simple question? Do you understand what you're reading? He found that peace because Philip got out of his comfort zone. And truth is, today there's a lot of individuals, many people that we live with, that we pass every day, who are searching for that peace. They're searching for that security that we have. And they're searching in all the wrong places. People are trying to find this peace and this security in their money. They're trying to find it in their job. They're trying to find it in their possessions. They're trying to find this peace and security in alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. But it's not there. It's only found in God. It's only found in Jesus Christ. And we have this good news. And people are searching, and it's our job, according to the scripture, to go share that good news with them. It's our job to not just gather as they were in Acts, but to be scattered from this place. And when we go, wherever we go, whatever city we go to, it's our job to go spread the good news with people that we're in contact with. And this morning, I know what you're thinking, but how do we do that? Man, that's so difficult. Well, truth is, we've been deceived into believing a lot of things that just aren't true. You know, when we say, share the good news today, and it's been our theme all year, share the good news, go evangelize, go tell people about Jesus. For some reason, many of us think, well, that means I have to go up and tap somebody on the road and go, do you know Jesus? Or that I have to stand in front of hundreds of people and deliver a sermon. Or that I have to go door to door knocking. Or that, you know, sharing the good news means that I have to buy one of these right here and stand on the street corner and go, repent, repent. Share doesn't actually have to mean any of those things. Now, if you feel comfortable doing that, more power to you. Sharing the good news today, there's many ways to do it, as Stafford North talked about last week. There's many ways to share the good news. But the one that I want to challenge you with this morning is flip the conversation. Flip the conversation. And you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Cash. Truth is, a lot of us are in conversations every single day We're talking with coworkers. We're talking with friends. We're talking with family members. We're talking with, you know, when we go to our favorite restaurant, we have the same waitress or waiter. Or when we go to Kroger or Walmart to buy groceries or wherever it is, we have the same cashier. And we've gotten to know these people and we started these conversations. But it's easy to talk to them about the weather. It's easy to talk to them about politics or our kids or Razorback football. It's easy to have those conversations. Flip the conversation next time you talk to them. You may be saying, what do you mean by flip it? Share your faith with them. Sneak a little nugget in there. In other words, oh, did you see the Razorback game? Yeah, man, I did. Man, we got TCU coming up. Hey, I've been meaning to ask you this. Where do you go to church? What just happened? You did exactly what Philip did in the book of Acts. You just flipped the conversation. Or you're talking with somebody. Hey, how's life going? Oh, it's going pretty good. Hey, you know what? Every morning I get up and I just pray for people. How can I be praying for you? You just flip the conversation. Or you're talking with somebody, talking with a neighbor that Scott's going to talk about in class. Do we even know our neighbors? We have people around us. Do we even know them? When you are talking with your neighbors and you have started those conversations, how about invite them to your life group? Hey, you know what? We have some friends coming over Sunday night. We have some friends coming over Wednesday night. We just have a meal and we laugh and we play games and we pray together. We do life together. We'd love for you to join us. You just flip the conversation. As Stafford North said last week, you've opened the door to a new part in their life. And here's the truth. A lot of you have already flipped the conversations many times. Some of you have experienced where they take the bait. Some of you have experienced that they've blown you off real quick and go, oh, Wednesday night? Oh, yeah, I got to wash my hair that night. Can't be there. Or, oh, I can't do that. And they've kind of blown you off. But I promise you this. When the storms come in their life and they don't know where to turn and they're looking for that peace and security, guess who they're coming to? They're coming to you. Because you loved them enough and you cared for them enough to flip the conversation. You loved them enough to open that door. Will we flip the conversation? You know, this past couple of years, there's going to be some name scrolling. We've been able to witness a lot of people who have come to know the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've witnessed a lot of people who have found that peace and found that security, who have been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. A lot of people, and Cole Shoemaker was added to this list on Wednesday night. But I want to tell you a story. A name that's on this list. One of our members a couple of years ago was across the street having dinner, and they had the same waitress every Wednesday night before church. And one night they decided, I'm going to flip the conversation. And within that conversation, just talking about all the things that we love to talk about, they said this, how can I be praying for you? Is there anything I can be praying for you about? And this young lady said, actually there is. And she told them, and they all week prayed for her. And then the next Wednesday night went back in there and said, we've been praying for you. We've been praying for you. Anything else that we can pray for? And she had a list of things, like absolutely write these things down. And over time, they continued to flip these conversations and talk about their faith until finally they said, hey, you know, I just go to church right across the street. We'd love to have you anytime. And for many weeks, she didn't come. But then one Sunday morning, she showed up. And she came to this individual and said, I want what you have. I want what you have. I want to know what you know. And the door was open. And they shared the good news of Jesus, just like Philip did in Acts chapter 8. And she was baptized for the forgiveness of her sins. And she found that peace and security that she had always been searching for. Why? Because this individual that was having dinner loved her enough and cared about her enough to flip the conversation. There's many ways to share the good news and tell people about Jesus. But I'm challenging all of us this week, whether you're having a block party. I know a lot of you are having block parties because it's share day, and a lot of you are having people over for dinner or cookouts or whatever it may be, or you're going out to eat with friends that you hadn't seen in a while or whatever it is. But I'm challenging all of us to flip the conversation. In those conversations that we are having all the time, do we love them and care about them enough to not just talk about the weather or sports or politics or whatever it may be? Do we love them enough to ask them how we can be praying for them? Do we love them enough to begin to share our faith with them? Imagine if all of us, within the next week or 2 weeks, flip the conversation with one person. That'd be 1,000 people that we just opened the door with. 1,000 people. Imagine if only 50 took the bait. That's 50 people that are going to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. But do we accept the challenge? Because truth is, there are a lot of people out there searching. There are a lot of people out there wanting that peace and security and purpose that we all have. And as this individual said to Philip in the book of Acts, how will they know it? Unless we tell them. We don't have to go door to door knocking. We don't have to, you know, stand on a stage and preach to hundreds of people and prepare a sermon. We don't have to just walk up to people on the street and tap them on the shoulder and go, do you know Jesus? Or grab a megaphone. We're already in these conversations. But do we love them enough to flip it and open that door and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them? Because they are searching, and we have the good news. I challenge all of us to do that, starting today, and get into this community and build those relationships and give God all the glory.